Tva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavin Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jyeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrinvandutibhisidhasadhanam Om Shri Mahaganapataye Namaha Sada Shiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankara Vavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Part by part, the Purnamada, so you can chant after me. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. And each class, first shloka in the first verse in the Upanishad, we will be with for some time. So also chant it regularly each time, so part by part also chant. Very good to chant it, both having the text that we're able to chant it. It's phenomenal. And this one verse from all the Upanishad teachings is probably the one that's most known from all the Upanishads. Very important one, so it's good to know. You chant it regularly, you'll know because just one verse. So each class will always be chanting that one as well. Om Ishavasya Midam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bhunjitaha Magridah Kasya Swidhanam. So last week we started the Upanishad proper, like this. And this one verse, we said the first two verses actually, we call the sutra, sutra mantras, the sutra shlokas, because what happens is it has the essence of the whole Upanishad in it. First verse, of course, is most important because it's giving the Vedantic vision. But the first two are covering everything that's being said, and the rest is an elaboration on this, where just expands on it. So the first two, and the first one again has the essence of what the Vedantic text is talking about, Vedantic vision, and in a very, very condensed form, as we said. That's why very condensed, and that's why we said this is considered a more advanced Upanishad, because then one has to expound more on it in order to see what it's saying. Without some background, then it wouldn't make too much sense. Like we had mentioned the Purnamada mantra, maybe in this course or other courses we've mentioned about, that it's true, a true story that some British scholar, when the British were ruling in India, that he went to some pandit to say, okay, what is this that this whole vision they're talking about, their philosophy in this place? And so when he went there, he said, please teach me. And then the teachings weren't ready-made in English like we have now, all over in many places. Swami Chinmayananda, one of the people who spearheaded this, where it's being taught widely in this manner. But in any case, so he went, and so he wanted to learn. So the Pandit agreed to teach him and started with the Purnamada. And he told him how the class is on this is whole, that is whole, the whole comes out of the whole. You take away the whole from the whole remains. And then he felt there's a hole in his head and he didn't come back. He said, this is just prattling. It's not nothing serious. So he missed out. What can we do? But one has to be ready to look into the things. So in this way, some background is needed. If I just try to study Purnamada without some background, it doesn't help. That's why actually this first part, Isha Vasamidam Sarvam, right? We said this, the Isha, the Lord, Isha Ishwara, the Lord, the God. This one is, right, in and through pervading everything. You know, one should see it as pervading everything. This is what it's saying. So a lot of background needed as we started last time. Just what does this mean? Somebody that comes without some background, it won't make as much sense. Yeah, God is in it through everything. Yeah, God is creator in this. Yes, very good. Now, let's go have some tea because, you know, I've had a long morning. So it's something that really one has to understand and look at, because otherwise how it'll make a difference, you know. So last week we said, first of all, if we can take the God, yes, okay, so this God, we can say creator of everything. But then if we just take the theology, the general theology, which we have with slight different versions in different religions, that the God created the world. But then a common thing that happens is, well, then there's, where did evil come? Where is this negative from? They'll say this. And then they'll say, okay, there is the hell. No, the God can't be there because the God is all goodness. And then there's a problem because the ever-present, all-knowing God is now limited because he doesn't have a visa to go to the hell because, you know, he's not allowed there. So all sorts of explanations are given to it. But the thing is, it can't totally quench it because still there has to be something underlying in and through everything. So this way we say, well, then the Isha has to be in and through everything. There can't be somewhere where that's not. So this is where Vedanta says, no, it's not like this. It can't be in that way. It has to be in and through everything, not in and through partial. So jagatyam jagat, idam jagatyam jagat, in and through this, everything, not just some things. You can't say it's not somewhere. Okay, something's not as apparent somewhere. That if you have, if something is made out of a certain substance, then sometimes it's very clear it's made out of a substance. Sometimes it's not as easy to see it. Okay, you can say like this, better covered, better hidden in some places than other. You could say, if you want to say like that, that's fine. But still, we'd have to see one is in and through everything. It can't be that it's partially through everything. Then it's not the underlying reality because there's something else there too. So what's the underlying reality of both of these? So that's why we said yes. So according to this vision, it says then that what is this Ishvara, or the Brahman, if you want to say, it's going to be Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam. That's what we said last time. One, it's the one cause, which is both the intelligent cause, as well as the material cause of everything. Because if the material cause, if there's a separate material that the God went, brought the material, and created the universe, then there's something outside separate from the God. That material is separate from the God. And then And just to gloss over it and say the God is all-powerful and all this, just make it out of anything, doesn't need. Well, out of anything means it has to be out of the God himself, the God herself, because otherwise it doesn't work. And then what happens is, for any of these things, I'll say, well, give me an example. You know, an example of this, like those that are in Thursday class. The rebuttal that the Vedanta gives against Shunyavada, against a Buddhist idea that comes out of nothing, out of nothingness. There's the source of the universe, there's nothing. When you take everything away, nothing. It's really nothing is there. Welt says, well, show me any place where something comes out of nothing. You can't find it. There's no example for that. So say, well, you need some example. So say, okay, for this an example, very good. We'll say you experience it every day, or more correct, every night. When you go to sleep, there's a whole universe created, and you're the material cause and efficient, or material cause and intelligent cause of that dream. It's all from your mind. You're the creator, and you're the created. You're everything there. There, it's a perfect example. One in and through everything. There's the seeming duality, but there isn't a real duality. It's really just one underlying essence in and through it. So that's a valid example, because there aren't two different causes. So this way, saying that in and through everything, it's going to be like this. Now, one thing, there's a difference between the vichara, looking into the things, and between upasana. Upasana is when you take something, like now Navaratri, so you take an idol, with, you know, the form of mother, you have Mother Durga, let's say, and you're going to worship, so you take that form and you do ishavasyam, you do vasyam, you put the idea, mental idea on it, that, okay, this is the goddess, she's the Shakti, the power of the whole universe is her manifestation, and she's going to protect us, etc., like this. Now, very nice to show how this, when you have the Murti sitting in your house and you keep it there, it's one thing, but the very nice how they do it in many places. I went to, one of the times when I was in Odisha, we went to a village where there they make a lot of the Murtis for Durga Puja, because in Bengal and Orisha, it's mostly very big, and Orisha, it's, you know, right next door. A lot of Bengalis are there, so it's also very big. One village where they're making them. So it's very nice how much work, how elaborately they make the beautiful murtis, and then all the worship and everything. But then on the 10th day, once it's done, then it goes back to the river. So it shows it's upasana, something to put the idea on. When you're finished, then it's finished, right? One of the times when I was there in Uttarkashi, so also Navaratri time, actually, interesting. So Swami Premananji, at the beginning of Navaratri, they do Kumari Puja, right? Goddess of Kumari, so they bring the young girls and they do puja to them. So a lot of the girls from the village are there, and some of them, the little brother there too, you know, okay, so come and sit also, you know, because what, he's just going to send them back. So very nice. He does they're sitting there, does puja, worship, puja this, and give sweets and everything. Finished. Okay, go, go, go. Okay, bye. Go, go, go. Like this. Are you going to say that to the Mother Durga, the statue there? And if no, because it's under upasana, you're putting the idea, you're saying like this one's finished then. So upasana, though, you're putting an idea on it. So it's your thoughts you're putting on in order to see. But vichara is different. Vichara is looking at what the reality is there, not putting an idea on top of it, actually removing the ideas. In the end, Vedanta is for removing, breaking down the ideas, not for adding new ones. So some concepts are there to help to understand it, but they're not, you know, the essence of it is to remove the unclarity. That's what it's for. So here it's different. So in the Ishavasyam, it's saying there's one thing in and through everything. You have to understand it, not just feel it like this, but really understand. So again, upasana is a very helpful preparation, because it expands our mind and takes beyond just some of our limited ideas. Yes, it helps, but it's the inquiry is different. Okay, so I feel there's one thing in it through everything. Very good. Now let's look into what it is. This is what Vedanta is saying. So the here we're saying, covering by one thing, one thing is in and through everything. It's like shifting my view when you have the ornament from the form of the ornament to the substance of the gold. Because there's the ring drishti, vision, right, the way I'm seeing, or the necklace drishti, like this, bangle drishti, or gold drishti, like this, the way that I'm looking at it. So by shifting one to the other, this is really what it is, learning to. So first of all, actually, before I can shift, there has to be a viveka, an understanding of the two. If I just see the, you know, if I just have a necklace and I don't first understand there's gold, which is the substance, and then there's necklace, which is, you know, some form that was made out of it. So really seeing the difference, then I can focus more on one than on the other. One is more superficial and temporary right here now. One is something that is constant, like this, because the substance is going to be there for much longer. It's not something that's just going to be there for a shorter time. So, and one of them is dependent on the other, like this. So this is what happens. One is the cause, one is the effect. Because the cause, you take away the cause, where's the effect? Right? You take away the gold, how can the ornament be there? You can't. Right? And the cause is always manifest inside the effect. The cause doesn't go away. When you have a material cause for something, it's not that it's there now. The other one comes now, that one went away. It doesn't happen like this. The cause is there in the effect, because the gold didn't go away somewhere. So again, the illustration that God creates the world, and after having worked very hard, needs a break, goes away, vacation to Hawaii for the weekend. That doesn't really work like this, because the cause will be within the effect. So jagatyam jagat, meaning in and through everything. Where did the God go? In everything. Otherwise, somebody will make the necklace and then you'll say, where did the gold go? Oh yeah, the gold became, now that the necklace here, the gold, you know, can be put back in the safe. Well, that's what is done a lot of the time anyway. The necklace is made, and the necklace with the gold is put in the safe and the fake one is used, because otherwise somebody might steal it. So in any case, so we can compare then between these two, the karyam and karanam. Karanam, cause, right? Karanam is cause, karyam is the effect. Because in the end, the karanam is in the karyam. It's not that it's not there. So if we take this example we took of the gold and the ornament, then first of all, somebody has some gold. So they have one lump of gold, right? Let's just say the whole universe of gold. There's a certain amount of gold, that universe is gold, of gold. So there's one substance gold. So that's going to be just one. How many different types of necklaces and earrings, etc., are made out of it? Countless. There are, you know, so many that are made, so many that will be made, and countless possibilities. There's no end to the possibilities of doing that. That's why the fashion industry is, you know, does so well throughout the ages, and because always somebody wants something new and different, always some innovation comes, you know. You know, if it's a practical thing, very good, but most of them aren't for practicality. So if we've karanam, right? Legible, yeah. And karyam. Right? Cause and effect. We have the cause and we have the effect, the two. So this is going to be eka, or ekam. An ekam. One and many. Cause is one. You have many waves there, you have one water. So when I'm looking from the perspective of the karyam, of the effect, I'm going to see many, multiplicity. When I look from the cause, I'm going to see one behind it, like this, the one thing behind. So the necklace, the ornaments, many, one behind it, like this. World is made out of many. We say universe, mean there's something uniting everything. One thing. So the one in and through everything. One sat, one one reality, one existence, in and through everything, not multiple ones like this. So this is one thing. Second one, this one you can say nityam, because eternal. Nityam because from perspective of gold is there, you know. We can say, as far as we're concerned, because it can be there for hundreds of years, long time. So it's as good as just being there, constant. It's not something that the substance is changing. Water is water. The forms in the the streams and the waves and all this, that's changing. But really, the substance is as good as just constantly being there. So this one is going to constantly be there. You can't say it's here today, it's not here tomorrow. Of course, when we're talking of gold, you're talking water, you'll say, well, it does change, the substance of that changes. Yes, it does, okay. But what is the substance behind that? That one has more, it's closer to nityam, it's more nityam, it has a longer existence than it. And if you keep going down, eventually you have to get to what is the substance behind everything, that has to always be there, because if that changes, okay, what is it that is changing? It has to be something beyond. Because changing is a wave. Changing is name and form. But there must be a substance behind it which is staying the same, just like with the golden ornament. So with the world and the Brahman. So here it's going to be anityam. So as long as I am identifying with the anitya, meaning nama-rupa, names and forms, like the jagatyam jagat, the world, what is the world? Name and form, not substance like this. The substance is the same. So as long as my focus is on that, it's the changing. And then the substance behind it is not going to be changing. It's going to always be the same one, same thing. So this is second difference. Other differences we have here is we're going to have this thing, because of this one's going to be satyam. Satyam, that which is the same in the three periods of time. That one which was there yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the same one, like this. Not going to be a different one, like this. So the pure existence, the gold was there yesterday, today, tomorrow. Yesterday, it was in one form. Today, it was melted down, made into something else. Then tomorrow, next person had it, and then also melted down, made something else out of it, but it was the same one, same thing. But then, what does that mean then? The karyam is going to be, as we said, it's not asat. It has an existence, but it's mithya because name and form is mithya. It's a temporary thing that we're seeing the substance. We're seeing the same substance, but in some temporary conditioning. A name and form don't have. Name is just label we gave to it, so name isn't a substance for sure. We know names aren't substances because it's just a mental idea that we explain verbally, right? So this is mithya. So verbally, so form is what's left. And form, again, rupa, because we see, but then shabda, we hear, that's also included. You know, we touch, we can feel something. So all of these, from the main things coming from the five senses, that's included as rupa. So really what happens then is that one is going to mithya because a form without a substance doesn't exist. It's not independent. That's why the gold, when they sell the necklace, the weight of it is the important thing. That's really what's going to be, what it'll be. The cost will be according to that. When you bring and want to give, sell the gold to whatever ornament it is, they're going to weigh it and pay according to the weight of it, because The jeweler is interested in the substance, not in the form. You'll say, oh, but it's very beautifully done. They'll say, well, but it only weighs this much. It's only this, up to this purity of gold. It's less pure, so I'm giving less money, more pure, more money. They're interested in the gold. So the satya meaning it's constantly there. The gold is there the whole time, regardless of the form of the ornament. So really it's changing the vision of it. Which is my focusing on? So the one presence or the multiple names and forms. But the name and form is just the external layer, and external layer that even doesn't have its own independent existence like this. So these are just some things. So here one of the things that he's saying is, that the Upanishad is saying, it's not an individual saying. Other texts we can say, you know, Adi Guru Shankaracharya says this. Here it's the Upanishad itself, the base, comes from the eternity, says that shift your attention from karyam to karanam, because karyam, first of all, the karanam is in it. So if you're focusing on karyam, you're focusing on karanam barine, but adding something on top to skew it, right? Like we said, like the stick in the water that's bent. It looks bent, but it's not really bent. It just seems to be. So we're looking at something in a skewed way instead of looking what's really the base there. And we'll say, well, what's the problem? It makes life more interesting, we'll say. It's more interesting, just gold. I don't care, just gold. But if it's in this nice form, that nice form, say, that's perfectly good. You can do it, not a problem. But the thing is, what's going to happen when that form changes? When it's not the way it was before, right? What's going to happen when, you know, if the form is this body and this body isn't functioning the same as it used to? If then, you know, if the hair is slowly turning gray and the eyesight isn't as good, then what? Then what, you know? So everything changing, so the lack of viveka for some things doesn't make much difference, but here it makes a big difference. Because here then, that's being caught up in the change then also makes me internally change, makes me caught up with the ups and downs. So learning to have the viveka first and then to shift. So first of all, the viveka is understanding there is a difference here between the two. Understanding that there is has to be the one substance in it or everything, like this. Now what happens is, to get to this point that I really want to look into, then it's a very different thing than most other things that we go after. That was in the whole introduction to this, that it was being pointed out. Most things I'm doing something to get to somewhere. Somewhere, whether a physical somewhere or for something to come to me, or a certain ability, right, to have something like this. Where here it's not for any of these things, because it's for dropping these things, because in order to come to look at this, somebody needs to develop some level of vairagya, or they won't have any interest. Because what happens is I have desire to get to something somewhere, obtain it. I have that desire. And what happens is, I try to do it, I put in effort. When I try to do it, then two possibilities come up. One, it doesn't work, doesn't get to where I want. One, it gets to where I want. If it gets to where I want, what happens after a little while, pretty soon after, that's not enough. Still something more needed, right? I'm not completely there. So let me do something else. So then I'm back to square one. You know, the snake and ladder. Go up, 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 but then it'll take me back to square one. Okay, so back to square one. Now, the other option. Not what I wanted. Well, I'll put in other effort to get to where I want, what I want. And I'll do that. So then, no matter what condition it is, meaning what condition is going to be here, what it'll be, it'll never solve the problems. It can solve some temporary problems, but then it's going to, next problem, next issue will come, if not from external things, from my own mind, it'll come also. Everything is perfectly okay, really. You're in good health, family good health, things are in good place. the mind is going to, you know, the mind after a little while will come up with something, right? Something's going to come up in order to, you know, to cause the drama in my mind like this. It's, and also it's impossible just to maintain everything will be okay. You know, it's like the, okay, so the water is placid in the lake for some time. But that's a temporary situation. We want to hold on to it. But it's really part of a change. It's going to change before we know it. So this is where this makes a big difference and where the Vairagya comes when I really look into it, that the way of trying to solve my problem, that isn't what solves it. And here it's, let's look into it. And so the solving the problem within the name and form world like this, it's not going to happen. So what is really behind it, that's what Vedanta is saying we want to look at. So it says, okay, see, one presence in and through everything, like this. And an interesting thing is really, when we look at the world, is one presence everything. And then we break it up through our senses, through our mind, we break it up. There is some limited, the senses are limited, the mind is limited. Using that limited thing, we're trying to break up everything and then categorize and all. We're really, first of all, there's one experience, one presence in and through everything. But because it's subtle and we doesn't seem to, you know, is the really, we don't deal with it. We just deal with the, you know, the ripples, which are just the, on the surface level. And that's what we're dealing with all the time. Because who has the time and who has the interest looking at what's it going to do? So we leave it be like this. So we don't go to the depth like this. But here it's saying, you can stay there as long as you want. Eventually get tired of it, and then you really want to look. That's not going to totally do everything. So in this way, then saying like this. This is where we have to look. Now one thing that happens here, though, is, okay, so far we looked here. We looked at Sat, whole world, one presence, one existence. Now what happens is, what about me? Very easy to, let's say I say there's one existence and there's me. So in Vedanta, both are looked at. Because when he said idam, as those in Thursday night class also come to that class, so the idam doesn't just mean the tree outside and the country and the stars and the water and the elements. What about this body? What about this mind? Right? These senses. What about these ones? No, me, I'm a separate thing. There's all that can be the one thing, but that's what has to be looked at as well. In the commentary on this verse, then Adiguru Shankara, he gives a very nice, Adiguru Shankaracharya, he gives a nice example about this also. He says, okay, if you have a piece of sandalwood, you know, because a piece of sandalwood from a tree, like this, and it's left in some dirty water for some time, you leave it there for a while, then it has a very foul smell from it. You know, somehow somebody was carrying a batch of them, one fell in the sewer and it stayed there for a few months. Somebody comes and finds it, so it's going to smell very bad. So the person's going to take it and rub it to clean it, to get all of the impurity out of it. Now what happens, as he rubs it eventually, the impurity is gone and the nice sandalwood smell is going to be coming out of it. So now, did this cleaning and rubbing, did it create this nice odor that came out? It says, you didn't create anything new there. It's its nature. That's the nature of it, that it's nice, has a nice fragrance. It's not, you just remove this covering that was blocking it. So in this way, he's saying, well, what happens is your nature is like this. Nature is not this limited being. But the identity with it is just like the foul smell like this, right? Because foul smell makes not feel good, right? I don't like it. I want to get rid of it. So my identity is something limited I don't like either. I want to get rid of it. And then what happens is I find small glimpses where I'm not limited. Small glimpses, and those are when I'm feeling happy or content. Like one of the, when I do something and I feel good, right? Certain food I eat, oh, it tastes so good. Once I'm eating it, okay, wonderful. But then a few moments later, then what? Like the cat we have when I was in our center, Shivananda Center, New York, years ago. He's gone to his, you know, cat heaven, I'm sure, since. Then he used to sit there and I would scratch on the head. And he would sit there and be purring and be in heaven. I'd stop abruptly and he would just look at me like this, like, what happened? So I would think, I would do that and I'd say, you know, this is a very good example of how we are. Things are, when it's certain condition, great, but then now what? Like this. Now what happens is, because I'm identifying with this, so for some time these things get a little bit aligned. When they're a little bit aligned, then we think, okay, I've gotten to a good place. But that's just a temporary alignment. It's kind of like, there's a saying that they say, the stopped watch is right twice a day. Digital watches have to, you know, digital watch too, actually, if it gets stuck on one or something, like this. So this is exactly like the stopped watch. Okay, at this moment, things are fine. But what about, you know, the one moment out of 100, the other 99? Well, they're kind of, but I'll try to increase it so it'll be 2 or 3 out of 100 instead of one. So he actually, in the commentary, he says, kartritvam bhoktritvam is this, the odor, the idea of doership, idea of enjoyership, because that's what identifies an individual, ankara. Doership. I am doing things. I'm acting, I'm thinking, I'm talking, I'm this. And why am I doing it? In order to get to somewhere to be bhokta. So some experience will be there. And then the bhokta, now I'm experiencing. And as I'm an experiencer, I'm going to become an actor. Why? Because I like that, I want more of it. Or I like it, I have it, I want to protect it. So I'll do actions to protect it. Or I don't like it, I want to get rid of it. I have, it's kind of okay, let me change it so it'll be a little better. Right? The different, the four types of actions he talked about. The utpadyam, first utpadyam, I'll want to create something better. I'll work hard, I'll make it even better. I'll create something original, a new phone. Right? Or the utpadyam, vikaryam, I'll change it. Right? We have people in life, I'm going to change them. Then things will be okay. And then samskaryam, I'll clean it, I'll purify it, and then it'll be okay. I'll clean the house, everything perfect. Navaratri time, everything will clean, change, everything very nice. But then after a little while, it feels nice and fresh, but then, the nice and freshness will also go away. Not that we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying, take a deeper vision. And then there's those three. That was everything, yeah. And apyam, and I'll get something. And then, but all these then, I'm doing in order to experience. Then I'm experiencing, I want to get to other. And then that identity is still just going around and around, not within. You know, it's kind of like being stuck in the orbit, being the karta bhokta, like being stuck in an orbit where you can't get, can't get in closer. Because out of habit, I'm stuck with that. Vichara really is breaking that to look further. So in any case, so the story is saying the nature of it is with it, it's me. It's not something other than me. So the vision is, first of all, say, looking outside like this, saying, yes, one cause for everything. That one Ishvara, one cause for everything. So that one is that totality, the sat. Because outside you can experience the Brahman, you see it as sat. Because you'd not experience it as a conscious being outside. You experience it as presence. So sat, the one pure existence, in and through everything. Okay, one pure existence in and through everything. Then internally, we experience chit. We experience as consciousness. I'm a conscious being, a awareful being. And it's covered by the foul smell, meaning by the identity with different aspects of the body and mind. Panchakosha. I identify with them. So I think that I'm limited by this thing. I think I'm limited. Now what happens with vichara? We'll say, okay, well, as the consciousness, as chit, it's not something limited. Chit isn't something limited. Seems to be limited. But it's unlimited. Now if we take it for that, let's just for now say, okay, it's unlimited. Now, the sat is not limited. So now, if the sat is not limited, the chit is not limited, do we have two unlimiteds there? The one unlimited this, one unlimited that. Then the, you know, how some people believe in the different unlimited gods, they start arguing and fighting, we're going to start having fights between us, the chit people, the sat people. No, sat must be its unchanging on this. This is the greatest. No, chit is unchanging. Now, if you have two unchanging, constant things, and again, we didn't look as much into chit, we'll look into it some more, but we have these two unchanging, how can they be two different things? How can it be? You know, you have two infinite spaces, are they going to be two different ones? How can you make them both of them different? So in the end, it's going to be just one and the same. So again, the chit seems to be limited because of the limitation body and mind. So we superimpose that on chit, on myself as the conscious being. Now what happens is, any limitation you're experiencing body, any in the mind, how do you know it's there? You're aware of it. Sakshi, the conscious being, the witness within you, is aware of anything. I have an idea, thought, I'm aware of it. So, you know, the thought is some very strong one, negative one, I'm worried about something or whatever. Well, that whole idea, I'm aware of it, so I'm in and through it, and not limited by it because I'm beyond it. It can seem that I'm just limited by it, but if I look at it, I'm not just limited by that one thing. I feel my body. Anything you feel in the body, I'm aware of it. The fact that I'm aware, it's within my awareness not just limited by that. Right. So what happens then, there's actually very interesting thing how this is practically used in the whole idea, I think, of mindfulness that I think is, you know, we'll have it through yoga and this, but is very brought to the public in a much more practical way through, I think, Buddhism had brought that. Some very nice practical things that have been used by that. There's one person named Jon Kabat-Zinn. He, years and years ago, I saw some video about a book that he wrote. So he works at the University Hospital in Massachusetts, something of this, University of Massachusetts. What happens is he teaches mindful meditation. And they take people that are in the pain clinic, that they have chronic pain that the medicine isn't even helping them to get rid of. They can't just live a normal life because they're in such intense pain. They would bring these patients to him, and he would just teach them mindful, how to be present with it. Simple, how to be present. And just by learning to be present with it, slowly, slowly, they could live more normal life because they would see, I'm present with the pain, and then being aware of it. And then I guess slowly, slowly, some viveka is built just by doing that, that I'm aware, and the pain is just in there, but I'm still aware. And the whole technique, what he does, every detail, I don't know, but that'll be the main thing. So very practically, it helps to free them of just being limited by that. So anything I experience, how do I experience? In the light of sakshi, in light of awareness. So I'm not limited by that one thing. Anything you can think of, meaning anything you experience, it's seen within the light of your awareness. So the light of awareness can't be limited by that. It's very much like saying the sun is limited by its reflection in the water. What do you mean? The light, the sun, you see the board, right? Meaning the light in the room is helping you see the board. Now, is the light limited to that board? It's not limited to the board. It's within the field of the light. So any experience I have, including experience of my body, experience of my mind, within the light of awareness. So the light is not limited to that. The other way, it's just within the light you can see it. So anything you experience can't limit yourself as the chit, as the consciousness, because everything is seen within the light of consciousness. So how can this one be limited? So this one, this is the vichara that we do now, it's like this, which is rubbing the, you know, taking the sandalwood and rubbing it. This is an interesting thing I very much like at the end of Kathopanishad, the end, when we studied it, that Lord Yama, the teacher there, he says, you know, this is the Upanishad, this is it. Like there isn't something else you need to look for. So like we're discussing like this now, and then somebody will say, okay, vichara, but what is the vichara? What is this? You know, what is it that you clean the sandal? Well, this is, you know, what's being discussed is exactly that. You know, what is the rubbing? It is this, looking at things in this angle, from this angle, and keep looking at it. What is rubbing? You keep going over, and again, a little from different place to clean, a little other place to clean, like this. Go back to make it a little bit finer. Like this, looking at this in this way is rubbing it like this to clarify it. So what happens is it takes some time to really scrub it well and keep looking at it from this angle. So we're looking at, okay, so all experiences from the perspective light of awareness, and slowly helps to clarify it some more. So this is the rubbing, look at it again, right? What happens when you're trying to clean the thing? Some of the time you scrub one place one way, it's not coming off. So you scrub a little more in a different way, right? So look at it a little bit from another angle, like this. So you rub it like this. So in this way, to help to clarify more and more. But in any case, so here we're saying, well, the nature that we're looking at, then it's not this Ishavasyam idam sarvam, not something that is just the existence out there, but is also my existence as well, not different things. And so what happens is, first step we have to say, you know, okay, there's the world, then we say there's the cause like this, which is in and through everything, which is unchanging. So Brahma Asti. Brahma Asti means the Brahman is. First step we say, Brahman Asti. Okay. Then later on, we also see that I'm the conscious being, and the conscious being isn't something limited. So later on, we also have to say, Brahma Asmi. I am the Brahman. Like this. Just Brahma Asti won't do, because, again, then, it doesn't solve everything. So the one consciousness in and through everything is also the one that is, that I am, like this. Like it's not two different things. So this is how, you know, one has to, just the Brahmasti isn't enough, because I also have to see what's, you know, what it is through me, like this. What is it that is, you know, what I am? That also there's a misunderstanding there, like this. So these are a few points that he gives about that. So that this Brahman then is, you know, my very nature, like this. Mm-hmm. And one interesting thing, like this, again, if we look at the one other angle, if we're looking at now, so I experience this whole world. And I say there's a world and I'm experiencing it. Now, every experience I have, what is it? It's, I'm aware of something, right? I'm aware of something, that's what it is. I'm aware, consciousness, and something, rupa, right? Like this, namarupa. So namarupa here, when we said name and form, there's sat is the satyam, the substance. Name and form, namarupa, is mithya. So what is constantly there will be satyam. Now I experience things. So now I'm seeing. I'm just looking at my seeing faculty. I see the Zoom session, finished. Then I see yoga session, finished. Then I see farmer's market. One thing is replacing the other, but seeing is remaining constant. So seeing, just ability to see, it, the names and forms are going to be mithya compared to seeing, because they're changing, but seeing stays the same. You see, before we looked at it from external, now we're looking from internal. Okay, seeing is the same. So I'll say, very good. Seeing then is satya because it's constant. It's constant. Sight. The other thing's changing. You say there is something there. Well, whether something there or not, the base of the whole experience of name of forms, colors and forms, is seeing. That's what's constant. Everything else changing. This is constant all the time. Same with all the other senses. I hear. Hearing is constant. Sounds are changing all the time. This is constant. So the sense is like this. But now the senses, just the sense on its own, doesn't have an existence. Because without a conscious being behind the eyes, there's no seeing. Behind the ears, there's no hearing. So there's like this. And also now I see, because I'm paying attention. Then somebody's saying something important. I'm not paying attention to seeing, just to hearing. So my seeing as good as not being there, I'm just with hearing, right? Then somebody makes a very good sweet for the holiday. So I eat it, I close my eyes. This is only the taste. I forget everything else. So within myself is the, you know, awareness. Then one sense also replaces the other. They're not constantly there. Being conscious, aware, is what's present through them constantly. You know, you can take the mind as well. Thoughts come and go, every thought. So really what's gluing everything together here as myself, the individual, is the fact that I'm conscious and aware. And my life is a series of experiences. That's really what it is. What else do you have? Take away all the experiences, right? It's a series of experiences. So a series of experiences, what is connecting them all? What is in and through behind them all? The fact that I'm a conscious being, that I'm aware. This is chit. So the name and form is the experience, right? And the substance is going to be the chit, the consciousness, like this. If you want, you can take some, you know, steps. The steps you can take is, okay, there's senses. Then there's thought. Without mind behind it, there can't be the sensual experience of seeing, tasting. It's not going to make nothing. There isn't anything there. So it goes through senses. Senses have to go to mind. Without mind, nothing. And without mind, without conscious being behind it, the thoughts don't have any life. There's no real thought going on, so it has to be the consciousness behind. So really it's all, what is an experience, which you'll say through body, senses, mind, all this, consciousness, plus name and form, like this. That's really what it's going to be. So then myself as chitta's consciousness is constant. It's not like the water, you know, the wave changes, but water stays the same. So same way in here. Actually, one way to see it, when you see the two sides of the coin, just like world and sat, world and Brahman, two sides of the coin. One where you're seeing names and forms, one when you're seeing substance. From your perspective, individual, can see experience is name and form, and chit, consciousness, is substance, like this. When you go all the way like this, very interesting. Because there, you as a conscious being are the same throughout every single experience. Can you have any experience where you, the conscious being, isn't in and through it? Not possible. How can you have it? When you say, I knew nothing, I was in deep sleep, right? Anesthesia, I knew nothing. You say, how do you know? Oh, I know that I didn't do anything. I know I went to the hospital, they did the surgery. And I don't know what happened. I lay down, then I remember nothing, and I remember I'm waking up in the bed. So I knew nothing. So I know that I knew nothing. Even there, if I'm not a conscious being, how will I know that? But it's a very interesting phenomena, because deep sleep is something, you know, that one is even more amazing experience. Anybody, I'm sure most people have had at some point, where really it's like a blank the whole time, like didn't exist. Very interesting experience. But in any case, I know that what happened, the medium wasn't there. There was nothing to reflect. It's all gone. But in any case, everything, the moment I say it's experience, I was there. I was there. I is awareness in there. I is you know, any other part of me doesn't necessarily have to be there. Every other part, because I had a nice meditation. Oh, my mind was totally quiet, as though no mind. So no mind, I'm still there. So anything else is there, just temporary, meaning it's like the waves. It's not. And can you say those things are separate from consciousness? For it to be separate from consciousness, that then there is something else, you know, it means that my mind is something separate, like the wet. We'll say it's like the wave being separate from water. You know, we'll try to do that, but as an experience, the experience is in the mind. Can you have anything that's not in the mind that you experience? No, it has to go through the mind. Without the mind, how can it be there? You know, if the mind's not working, then there won't be any experiences. Here, deep sleep, you forget the mind, so blankness. When the mind is there, then, okay, experiences will come and go. So literally, though, the mind is like just ripples in the consciousness, and so the substance doesn't change in this way. So in this way, when you look more and more at it, then as a conscious being, you know, sat, I'm sat and chit, because I am and I know, or they go hand in hand. You can't, you know, somebody's going to say, you know, I don't exist. Right? It doesn't make sense. They say, you know, I am, but I don't know. For them to say it, they have to be an awareful being. They have to be a conscious being. They can't not be a conscious being to open the mouth and say something. So when I know I am, then that's, as a conscious being, then it's sat and chit. And then everything, then the world itself is sat, so it's not going to be different things. You can't, you know, the borders are demarcated like this. Actually, this is a very good point how it's given also. What is it then that separates, you know, separates me from everything else? Why? What is it that separates individual from the universe? What that separates is then is avidya, is the ignorance. In your dream, it's only you, but it's just a confusion that says that there's a separation, me and the other things there, right? Because there isn't a separation between you and everything else in the dream. Everything depends on you. Look, the dream is exactly water and wave, right? The dream, everything is you. So it's you are everything. So it's only ignorance, and it's water and wave, not being caught up in the wave, not seeing the water, is why there's the dream. So ignorance is there. Now, what's the difference between here, waking, and the dream? It lasts a little bit longer. Yeah, a little longer is there. Seemingly, when we're in the dream, it doesn't seem to be so short. Right? Okay, it's not just projected from my mind. Okay, not just projected from my mind, but the experience is the same. You know, experience of fear in waking, experience in dream, is it different? Right? Experience of happiness waking and dream, is it two different things? Right? Any of the things. I'm you know, having hard time sleeping in the dream, hard time waking. In the end, series of experience. Same thing, like this. So in the end, it's going to be based on the same one. Now, the same one we're saying based on the chit, sat and chit, it doesn't mean that the chit is just sitting here in my mind and not anywhere else, because the mind, as we said, the limitation is superimposed on it. It's not that it really is limited. Because when we're looking from perspective individual, how can this be? like when you look from the perspective of the dream, how can this thing just be, you know, unreal? How can it just not have a reality? Meaning not be the reality, be superimposed. How can it be like this? So one thing with Vedanta then, especially when it's analyzing as individual, the myself as the individual, is it looks at, it analyzes the experience. Because instead of being caught up in experience, in the name and form aspect, the essence of it, what is experience? You know, like the scientist, you know, or the jeweler that looks at the gold, not at the form that it was made into. Same way, what is the substance, what is behind experience, what is really the base like this? So you can't say that it's something other than yourself as a conscious being because everything else comes and goes like this. So then we say, in this way, it's not limited, so it has to be sat. Chit has to be sat because it doesn't change. Then it has to be nitya. If something is nitya, you can't have multiple things be nitya, multiple things be unchanging, eternal. So this has to be the same one. So then nature of everything is one and the same, like this. So this is what is being pointed out, like this, Ishavasam idam sarvam, yat kincha jagat yam jagat, in and through everything. Not just one thing, not limited to one thing or the other, but anything. Because anything, it's still experience. So experience, so same base, like this. And this for one equalizer, like this. That's one reason why the ash, right, vibhuti, because burnt becomes one. So that's why this term for jnana agni, our Sanskrit people, jnana agni becomes jnana agni, right? So like this, the goes through fire of knowledge, meaning through, when it goes through the vichara, then it becomes the one. It doesn't become the one, right? The gold, the necklace didn't become gold. The everything didn't become one. We just shifted our vision to that angle, and then it was one. And actually, one nice thing in this says, well, the whole thing is shifting the vision. Then let the world do what it does. I'll still do my duties, what's needed, not a problem. But with the vision change, it's very different. Because then, all the changes in what I do have to do or don't have to do this, that's not what's going to make the difference, because I see that that is superimposed on what is, you know, really the base. It doesn't really affect the base. So really here, seeing this, and then whatever the world is, it'll be, you know, because I can keep trying to change and get to a better and different place, but then I'm still just stirring the water, the names and forms. Like this. So this is the vision that it's pointing out. So in this way, and then we, as we'll continue next week with tena chaktena, then what happens is this is a form of renunciation. I have to renounce the limited ideas that I have and to keep looking at it like this, because I always am holding on to these ideas and they're catching on. So I have to learn how to let go of them and look at it from this angle, like this. So dropping these ideas. That's because what is renunciation? It's dropping ideas. And dropping ideas then through understanding. So I drop through understanding, and then vision is different, like this. So let's stop here, and then we'll continue from here next time. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.